With another important feature from my morning radio show on KFNX in Phoenix, I'm Charles Goyette for AntiWar.com. A couple of things I want you to hear before I introduce our guest. First of all, let me go back to Richard Nixon and Richard Nixon's law here on the show. This is Richard Nixon, and this was Richard Nixon's law.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
Makes sense. He is a power, an entity, regal unto himself. And now we've updated it, and we have Cheney's law.
On Frontline,
Cheney was in the front seats for the searing moments of the Nixon administration.
He wanted to reverse history.
Dick came out of that committed to restoring the powers of the presidency.
It took three presidencies.
He believes that the president should have the final word, indeed the only word.
And a historic event to accomplish it.
The president could do as he liked, even if the Supreme Court said he couldn't.
Cheney's Law. Watch online or on air beginning October 16th.
And that would actually be tonight, 9 o'clock, Channel 8, KAET. Tonight, it's called Cheney's Law, a Frontline documentary tonight. Michael Kirk is a longtime producer, award-winning documentary filmmaker, and has been on our show before. He is the producer of this program tonight on Frontline, The Dark Side. Michael Kirk, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hi, Charles.
You did a great job, by the way, on Cheney. Gee, what was it? Was a year and a half ago, The Dark Side.
That's right.
And we've talked about that many, many times on the show. If we could start back on that one and then update it here.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was this guy named Dick Cheney. That film starts at 9/11, where, as we said then, opportunity met preparation. And that film was really about the way that the vice president went to war with the Central Intelligence Agency, first Colin Powell and then the Central Intelligence Agency, to help orchestrate a war with Iraq. It was about power within the administration and certainly about power in the world. Very, very tough one-on-one war with George Tenet for, you know, the preparation of and manipulation of the information that led to the war in Iraq and Colin Powell's now infamous speech before the United Nations. So we kind of went back and reconstructed it, not literally reconstructed, but went back and dug into what had happened, what the vice president had known and when he had known it, and his efforts with Donald Rumsfeld to bring this information forward and take the nation to war in Iraq.
Well, you completely captured it. It's the best primer on this administration and the way we got into the war that is available, I believe, on video. And so I trust that you've really captured in Cheney's Law the whole business that is so timely now. I mean, we got telecoms, we got FISA courts all in the news, we got new hearings and so on. And I trust that you've captured all of this interrogation technique business in Cheney's hand in this current issue.
Well, that's right, Charles. Well, basically what happened is that this is our 10th film about the war on terror and about the administration. We tend to cover politics inside this administration as in-depth as possible. While we've been to Iraq and done all those other things, the focus of our films is always about the dynamics, the behind-closed-doors dynamics. And always, all those roads always led to the vice president. So when I picked up the newspaper last spring and read that account of that hospital moment, you know, where the Attorney General Ashcroft is laying in his bed and Alberto Gonzalez and Andrew Card, the Chief of Staff of the President, show up and try to get him to authorize the warrantless domestic wiretapping and data mining of billions of telephone calls and emails. You know, I thought, man, this has got to be one of the most central moments in American history. I've never seen all sides of a Republican, conservative administration coming to war with each other over what is obviously something really important. So we decided to go out and find out what led up to that meeting and what flowed from it. And that's what our film is tonight. It is all the background you'll need to begin to kind of understand what was going on, why those guys were in that hospital room that night, what the stakes were, why 30 Justice Department people threatened to resign after that moment happened, and what is the state of play right now, day on the eve of the new Attorney General designee being confirmed or at least questioned by the
It was a very eye-opening incident for the Americans that followed it, and I'm not sure that enough. I mean, it's the kind of story that if it had shown up in like a Matt Damon in The Bourne Identity, people would have scoffed and said that's good. Nothing like that could ever happen.
Exactly, it is according to the people I talk to in Washington, it is the single most dramatic moment that has happened in American history, you know, of its kind. And I mean, in terms of an intergovernmental moment where all the stakes are there, all the players are there, the president is waiting back at the White House, the vice president is waiting back at the White House, you know, the vice president's attorney, David Addington, is waiting back at the White House for this signature that has to come forward from the attorney general or his designee. One of the people in our film, the person we kind of build the middle of the film around, a man named Jack Goldsmith, you know, is in the room and tells us, I think, on television tonight in what I think is maybe the most vivid kind of way, because you've got an eyewitness who just kind of recites it, and it's chilling when you think about what the stakes were and what everybody was doing.
Well, the Goldsmith is a really interesting character because he comes into this full of, I mean, he's some sort of movement conservative, I gather, and he comes into the administration as an academic, a law professor, and suddenly he starts to discover things you reveal that he was shocked to learn were going on.
Absolutely. He's a close friend of a man named John Yoo. And John Yoo, maybe some of your listeners remember or not, was the young conservative Federalist Society attorney who was manning his post at the Justice Department on 9/11, and who the vice president's people, especially David Addington, reached on the phone and began to write these authorizations for all the things that would eventually become presidential powers for coercive interrogation, warrantless wiretapping, all kinds of other things. And essentially what Yoo's position was is, it's what the clip you played at the beginning, if the president of the United States, as commander-in-chief, under circumstances of war, decides he wants to do something, he can do virtually anything to protect the American people. He can, in other words, use any means necessary against any enemy anywhere. And he writes these kind of authorizations that will allow the president legally to do that so that there's not a kind of future war crimes tribunal or something. Well, when you leave the job, and in comes his friend Jack Goldsmith, another conservative, young conservative professor, from University of Chicago Law School, he sits there at in the office, and he begins to be read into the secret programs, the warrantless wiretapping, the interrogation, the dark sites that the CIA was putting people who had been taken through the extraordinary rendition program. He sits there and he reads this, and he is astonished at the broadness of the power that the president has been given and the utter lack of power that the Congress and the courts are being given, and says, you know, even though I'm kind of with these guys ideologically, I just can't do this. The rule of law and the Constitution has to take preeminence. So the way Goldsmith reads it is that, and when he comes up against the vice president's attorney and the vice president to tell them that many of the things they had been doing for 3 years had to be stopped, or legally, the president of the United States and CIA officers and others all over the world were in big trouble, then the lid is blown off of the interior of this administration.
Well, you also capture the vice president's attorney, David Addington, if you could spend a second on him.
David Addington fits the criteria, the credentials of John Yoo and Jack Goldsmith. He met the vice president back when the vice president was in Congress Addington prepared a minority report or helped work on it that essentially said Ronald Reagan should have been able to, without Congress getting in the way with the Boland Amendment, should have been able to not do backdoor funding to the Contras, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, Cheney took the extraordinary stance of being in support of President Reagan and his powers in that regard. Addington and Cheney formed a partnership then, Addington providing the legal cover and the legal interpretation that said the Constitution allows a very strong executive, stronger than any other branch of government. In fact, that branch of government can operate in secrecy, never needs to tell the American people anything other than what the policy implications are. Addington was the guy who provided the legal framework for that. Cheney provided the policy orientation and the levers of power. He had, together and separately, they had positioned lawyers all over the American government who they could call and use to make one thing happen or another. One of those lawyers turned out to be John Yoo, and they also thought one of them would be Jack Goldsmith, but of course it didn't turn out to be that way. But Addington is an incredibly tough, probably the most powerful attorney in the United States government, clearly at the epicenter of power to this day. He replaced Scooter Libby as chief of staff for the vice president now, and they continue to operate on this philosophic and personal quest to enhance the power of the presidency way beyond anything that's ever existed before.
Well, Addington is a case. I mean, this is the walking definition of casuistry, a certain amount of cleverness or intellectual deftness that allows you to hair split things. I mean, he's obviously, having seen now the preview copy of your show from tonight, he is the guy that must have come up with this business about the vice presidency being a duckbill platypus, that it's its own new fourth branch of government. It's quasi-executive, quasi-legislative. In other words, if these guys can think of a clever enough justification for what they're doing, it doesn't matter what they do.
Well,
no
restraints. Exactly right.
No restraints on.
He walks around with a pocket of his jacket, a copy of the Constitution, a well-worn copy of the Constitution. The way people tell us the story, every piece of legislation that this administration has initiated or responded to from Congress goes through the vice president's office, lands on David Addington's desk.
Yeah.
He very quickly can read a piece of legislation. People say they've seen him read a 400-page bill in less than an hour and mark it up, looking for places to enhance executive power or places where it may be being diminished, to excise those things, to do what are called signing statements. All those things are a kind of organized effort by this very, very smart man. He's the only lawyer the vice president actually had. He was the head counselor, but he didn't have a staff of lawyers. It was this man, and in his brain and orientation and desire to perform a task that he deeply believes in. I mean, let's say that the vice president and David Addington believe in this as a function of safety for Americans and all of that. In a way, as true believers, they are even more, certain of what they're doing and even more determined to do it.
Well, it's a great program. It's an eye-opener. By the way, in the video of John Yoo, I got kind of the impression, maybe a little subtext, that maybe he's having some second thoughts about the damage he might have done to the Constitution. Any sense of that at all? Or?
It's very hard to know. It's very hard to know. He's clamming up and I think it must be painful. He and Goldsmith no longer speak, and they were very close friends. I think it must be painful to be in the position he is and have history, at least near history, which is what we're providing. Attorney General Ashcroft used to refer to him as Dr. Yes. That's painful when you think you were doing something important.
Well, it must be a remarkable documentary, since it's almost made me revise my opinion of Ashcroft, at least in the deathbed scene, right?
Well, it is true that we all form opinions about people, and I think it's not that Ashcroft didn't do many of the other things that he did. It's just that all of us have many colors.
Yes, we do, and it's a great documentary, as were, by the way, just a tip of the hat for one day future historians are going to go try to piece this whole sorted mess together, and they're going to rely on a number of your documentaries about this era that have been so important. This is another one tonight.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Michael Kirk in Boston. The program is tonight, 9 o'clock. It runs on KAET, Channel 8, at 9 o'clock. It's called Cheney's Law. And Michael did a couple of these others. I'm trying to remember. He did one, I think it was called The Torture Question. And he did the other one about, he did Rums de Mera's War. He did The Torture Question. A couple of others that have just been remarkable. The Lost Year in Iraq, I think, was his. Anyway, it's been a great source of behind the scenes information. Yeah, he did Endgame, The Lost Year in Iraq, The Torture Question, Rumsfeld's War, The Man Who Knew, and a number of others. The one tonight is called Cheney's Law, and it's really timely. Thank you very much, Michael Kirk. Good morning. I'm Charles Goyette. It is 7:22. in the morning. Well, if the talk show host does it, that means that it's not illegal.
I'm Charles Goyette in Phoenix for Anti-War Radio, a special presentation of antiwar.com.